There were some 3,000 lives, almost 3,000 lives that left this life. Americans, for the most part. As I thought about those things, you know, I realized that some of those lives, the majority of them, were taken. You know, people had no idea what they were walking into that day. And there was another part of those lives, though, that were out of this life today, that day, that were taken, or actually given, I should say. Those lives were freely given. Those were the volunteers, firefighters and police, and freely just walked in and did their absolute best. And so I think it's wise as Americans that we recognize those that really gave all. Today I want to talk to the church about Jesus' one lesson for 9/11. And really there is just one lesson that we really need to learn from this. The idea of a memorial is to recognize something very significant has happened and preserving the particulars of that event so that future generations will learn from it. Now, as a Christian, I know it's good. I know it's good that when we teach from the past, things that have happened from the past, whether those are positives or whether those are negatives. And I also understand, as an American, it's good that we learn from the past. We teach from the past, whether those are positives or negatives. Today, across our country, there are services that are going on right now, and houses of prayer, and synagogues, and public parks, and even at Ground Zero, as we speak, there is a service going on remembering 9/11. 10 years ago today, the unspeakable happened. Most of us probably remember where we were at when America was attacked. Most of us remember where we first learned of the attack. I know I was in a warehouse hauling about 15,000 pounds of groceries behind a pallet jack when I learned of it. One of the most vivid memories from that day for me was observing people waving off the top floors, calling out for help, and then leaping to their death. Do you remember that? Wasn't that horrific? That was the most vivid memory. That is the most vivid memory that I have. People on the World Trade Center buildings in those upper floors leaping to their death rather than dying in a burning building. So I think about that day. It was a day that changed our vocabulary. It changed our global mindset. And I observed things as we went through the process of dealing with the grief and the aftermath, and what I saw initially was unification. What we witnessed was a real effort to bring people together, to unite this country. After all, we had a common enemy that was trying to destroy our way of life. And you could see that for a little while, just for a little while. America was pulled together, but really the sad reality 10 years later, the lessons that were learned from that dreadful day, I think, are far removed from us. Really, as I think about those lessons, I think they're very superficial. Because it became about country. It became about people that hated us. It became about trying to wipe out the enemy. Really, there were eternal lessons that should have been learned that day. There should have been lessons that had their root in eternal value. Christ himself says some things about catastrophes, about bad events. Matthew, the 10th chapter, verse 28, he says, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both body and soul," or body and soul, "in hell." You know what I see? I see people have feared the wrong thing. We feel good about ourselves because we have caught and captured and killed bin Laden. Is that going to make a difference? Today they're trying to make sure that another attack doesn't happen, that something doesn't implode or explode somewhere in a vast group of people. I want to show you some things, and I'm going to be on the screen here today. I want to show you some quotes from consumer advocate and past presidential president, candidate, I should say, Ralph Nader. Now, this is no way an endorsement for Ralph Nader, and I think you'll see why I say that. He published his 10 painful lessons from 9/11. And I think it shows where we are off the mark here. First one is, do not exaggerate our adversary's strength. I don't think we can over-exaggerate our adversary's strength. Second thing, do not allow our leaders to lie and exaggerate. Third one, do not create a climate of fear. Third, do not tolerate presidents who violate our Constitution. Fifth, do not have Congress write a blank check. Do not allow the executive branch to engage in unconstitutional, illegal, recurrent practices such as wiretapping. Seven, do not let the government hide the horrors of war from the people. Eight, do not allow leaders to violate American principles with torture. Nine, do not allow your Congress to abdicate its transfer its constitutional authority to the president. And 10, call out the news media. I think Mr. Nader's missed it. I really do. Now, there are a couple of words on that list that might express a thought or two of mine, but the unity that was spoke of just a little bit ago in my opening remarks, I don't think we're going to see that back. Why? Because it's superficial. You see, I want to share with you what I see biblically. The unity that was spoke of after 9/11 was only a shallow attempt of men to bring security to a troubled world. And we do live in a troubled world. Something is going to happen again. It's inevitable. There'll be another attack, or there'll be another Katrina, or there's going to be another this or that, an earthquake, a tsunami. But there will be something. I want to remind us all that Christ told us in John the 16th chapter, verse 33, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you have peace. If the 10 things that Ralph Nader proposes are accomplished, are we going to have peace? Is there going to be something else? See, only real peace can come through the Lord Jesus Christ. He reminds us, in this world you're going to have tribulation or trouble. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Here's what I know. Man has forgotten his mortality. And he thinks that he's going to go on and on forever. There's not 10 lessons that we need to learn from 9/11. My friend, there's only one real lesson that we need to learn from 9/11. And Christ addressed this whole issue in a response to a similar situation. So if you have your Bibles, take your Bible with me, and let's look at Luke, the 13th chapter today. Verses 1 through 5. Similar situation. Christ was posed some questions. Let's read verse 1. There were present at that season some who told him how about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with sacrifices. Now some people died. They died horrific deaths. And it was a political and a religious statement that was being made, much like 9/11 is. Verse 2. And Jesus answered and said to them, do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered these things? Here's what I want you to underline and get a hold of. I tell you no, but unless you repent, stop there. Put your name in there. I tell you no, but unless Mark repents, put your name in there. You will all likewise perish. Are those 18 who were killed in the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them? Do you think they were worse sinners than all other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? Verse 5, again, underline it. I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Well, today I want to remind us that Jesus Christ had one lesson for each and every person. make sure where you are going to spend eternity. That's the thing that we all need to do. Because you're going to spend eternity in one place or another. There is some good that can come out of the bad. I mean, the song that was sung before I got up here to preach, "He Give Beauty for Ashes." There can be great things that come out of tragedy if we realize our own mortality. If we are willing to trust Christ to save us, we can go back to John 16:33, where he says, "I give you peace, not as the world gives." There are promises that were made after 9/11 by our government. They have tried to live up to those promises. They are not ironclad guarantees. Only Jesus Christ says, "I can take you to a place that is going to be peace and harmony, tranquil and no trouble. I can take you to my Father's praise." The thing about tragedy, it will happen. It can happen on a personal level. It can happen on a national level. Tragedy should point us to the cross. When I think about the cross, I think about this. It took tragedy to make it meaningful. Here was a man that was sinless. Today we're going to be looking at communion. We're going to be taking the Lord's Supper. And when we consider the wine, the grape juice, we use grape juice here. We're considering his blood. It doesn't figuratively become his blood, but we're figuratively considering his blood. Sinless, perfect, atoning. In my blood, there's a predisposition to die. Genetically, I'm engineered to go away from this life. His blood was completely, completely sinless. And he shed it. He was the one who was willing to say, "I'll go." If you were one of those 3,000 people that day, knowing and you had an intuition, you shouldn't go here, you shouldn't do that, what would you have done? Would you have walked away? Well, Jesus knew without any doubt what he was going to do. He freely gave himself. It took tragedy to make the body meaningful, which is represented in the bread today. When we look at the bread, we consider his brokenness. He was broken for our sin, punished for our sin. Without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sin. And without him being beaten and bruised, and while not a bone of his body was broken, he was broken physically, disjointed. He just did that for you and I. So today we look at 9/11. It's important to look on those things and think about, as Americans, what can we do? Good things have happened because of it. There have been acts of service. There have been things that have transpired that are good. But they're superficial. Unless people really realize, if you don't repent, then you will also perish. So whatever your 9/11 is, I don't know. Whatever my 9/11 is, I don't know. But I have done my best to learn from tragedy, realizing I will be called out of this life one day. And I have said, I've trusted Christ. I've put my faith and trust in him. And today, as we begin to assemble for this meal, as we asked our deacons to come forward, this bread, it does represent his body on that cross. This cup, it represents his blood that was shed for you and I. So today, as we take this memorial meal, I want to ask you, to listen to the scriptures. Ben Hurst is going to be reading from Isaiah this morning. Listen to the scriptures. Turn there as well. Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, you can find that. And read along and think about the words that are being said in this memorial meal.
Isaiah chapter 53. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. As we hid it, as it were, our faces from him, he was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our sins. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all.
Thank you. us pray. Lord, we come to you in remembrance of a tragedy that happened 10 years ago in our country. As you taught us, though, in life, tragedies happen all the time. It should strengthen us. It teaches us what we need to rely on, and that's you. We remember Pearl Harbor. We remember so many other things that happened in our life as a memory. I remember in your word, you had stones stacked up to memory of something that happened. It's part of our lives. Mainly it's to bring us in realization of who you are. But the one tragedy we always try to remember, that was the day that the perfect person came to this world, you, in the body of a man, to teach us the truth. But the greatest thing that happened is we didn't listen, but you accepted us anyway, and you died on the cross for us. But you broke that bread that day with your disciples to remember that there wasn't a tragedy at all. There's a price that had to be paid, that you set us free. So as we take this, just as 9/11 is a memory up here, we Christians are trying to remember something that happened so long ago that sets us free. Free to be at peace with ourselves. Be at peace with you. And to be at peace with this world. We thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, whom we owe it all to. Amen.
Today, many people are at different memorial services for 9/11. We as God's people, we realize there was a great sacrifice, a greater sacrifice that was given. In fact, the Bible calls it the perfect sacrifice for our sin. The Bible tells us that his body was broken for us. So as you take the bread today, think about the things that you've done. And then think about Jesus hanging between heaven and earth for you. The plaid of thorns on his head, the ribbon in the side, the nails in his hands and feet. That was for you. There's a far greater significance in what Jesus did than what happened on a 9/11. Not to deplete that, not to take away from that. But as Christians, there was a greater sacrifice given. In fact, a perfect sacrifice. So the Bible says that when he had given thanks and he broke it, he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." We're going to have our second reading. I invite you to turn to Hebrews, the 9th chapter, starting in verse 12. And Brian Carpenter will be reading that for us today.
God's word, Hebrews 9:12-14. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God.
Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we come before you. We praise you for who you are. You are the Father, you're the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We thank you for Jesus Christ who shed his blood for our sins, Lord. Without the shedding of the blood, there would be no remission of sins. Our works will not justify us. Through our works, we will not be justified. Through adherence to the law, we will not be justified. Only by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and the blood that he shed for us will our sins be forgiven. No works, no deeds of our own could we possibly earn a way into heaven. And as I think about us all, as all of us here are thinking about Jesus and the blood that he shed for us, Lord, if there be one here among us who has not found Jesus as their Savior, Lord, we ask you that the Holy Spirit will work on that person. Jesus is the rescue of sinners. He is the ransom from heaven. We thank you for him, and we thank for the blood that he spilled for us. For we ask these things in his name. Amen.
One of the things that I observed this past week as they were looking at things around 9/11 was something very significant. In nature, they had a piece of the rubble from 9/11. And on that rubble, there were scratches, long ways on the piece of rubble. And someone asked, what are those scratches about? Well, they were told. It was in hopes to find some DNA for some of the people that were never identified, never found, but known to be in the building. Maybe a speck of blood, maybe a speck of skin, trying to find them. As I think about the blood of Christ, there wasn't a drop of it lost, was there? It was shed for you and I. There doesn't have to be any investigation of where it went or what happened to it. It was taken to the Father. Shown. Here it is. Here is the remission for their sins. So today we don't have the blood in our hands, but we have a symbol of it. We recognize that, wow, that blood was shed for me. All the corruption and sin in my body was placed in his blood. So today, as we take this, the Bible tells us in the same manner, he took the cup after supper, saying, drink all of it. Thank our deacons for doing a wonderful job this morning. Today I want to remind everyone in our takeaways. It is important to have memorials as Christians, as Americans. They're the things that keep us grounded to good things and have us look ahead. But it's even more important as Christians realize that in this meal that we have celebrated today, there's not only things we're looking at the past, but we're looking to the future. Because there is a promise that Christ gives himself, that if you put your faith and trust in him, then one day you will take it with him in heaven. I won't be giving communion. The Lord Jesus Christ himself will be. Think of the significance of that. When he hands out the bread, and we'll probably all be sitting somewhere looking at him, and he says, "This is my body." We're looking at a piece of bread, unleavened bread, but we're looking at him. That's going to be pretty significant. And then when he takes the cup and he says, "Hey, I want you to take and drink all this. This is my blood." You're going to look at the body that blood came from. Pretty significant when you think about it in that day. So it is important for us to have our memorials. I want us to remember that God has spoken directly about tragedy and trouble. They will come. Somewhere we will have another 9/11. It may not be titled that. Personally, you will have some tragedy in your life. But I want to remind you of John 16:33. Christ said, "Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world." Last night, on the Nat Geo channel, I watched the brave members of Navy SEAL Team 6 capture and kill the mastermind behind 9/11, Osama bin Laden. Some people probably rejoiced over the reenactment. Some probably were somewhat, couldn't we have done something different? But I'm sure a lot of people thought this one thought, that ended it. Well, friend, let me say, that did not end it. There are going to be those that hate us, that want to see us dead. Why? First and foremost, I believe because we are Christians. Secondly, because we are Americans. So that did not end it. We need to remember that Christ said, in this world, you are going to have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I've overcome it. The one lesson that is so important for all of us to learn today. Repent or perish. Would you all stand? Now I'd like to ask every head to be bowed and every eye to be closed. I'm going to pray here in just a few moments. But before I pray, I want to challenge you with your eyes closed, your head bowed. Have you really trusted Christ? And if you can't honestly say that today, the conclusion of this prayer, I want to invite you to do something. I want to invite you to step out to one of the aisles, the closest aisle for you to come up front here, and to see one of these counselors and say, "I want to know that Christ is my Lord and Savior. I want to make sure of that today. I don't want to miss this. I don't want to mess this up. I want to make sure it's right." Friend, don't leave here today the way that you came in, without Jesus. Come and receive him as Lord. Come and receive him as Savior. And it's going to be a great day for you. For others here today, it may be God's calling you to be a part of this congregation. You sense Lord leading you here, and you're willing to let that be known today. You say, "I want the people of this church to be a part of this church. I want to be a part of what's going on here at North Fairfield." And if that's the case, we say, "Praise the Lord, thank you." But you come forward and you let that be known as well. And there may be some of our members here after this message today, you realized you've not been focused on eternal things. You've been concerned about the economy. You've been concerned about the upcoming presidential election and all the different candidates that are plying their wares, and did our government lie? Did our government not do this and this and that? Listen, it's going to take heaven and eternity to sort all those things out. We'll never sort those things out in this life. We need to fear the one who can kill our soul. Don't let the devil destroy your walk with Christ here in this life. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you, we praise you for your word. It's not only able to make us wise unto salvation, but it is a lamp unto our feet. And Lord, there is only one real lesson that we can walk away with from 9/11, and that is to put our faith and trust in you. And Lord, it doesn't have to be 9/11. It could be the funeral service we just attended this past week or this past month. Or it could be the thing that we read in the paper about these folks lost their life because of some natural catastrophe. Lord, whatever the case, we realize our own demise is somewhere out on the horizon. And I pray that everyone here has put their faith and trust in Jesus. Lord, we pray that you'll draw them with cords of love. And those who are ready to make their membership known here, we pray for them as well. And we pray that as a congregation, we put Jesus first and this country somewhere second or third. And we ask these things in Jesus' name, amen. Everyone looking up, if God's speaking to your heart someday, somehow, some way, that small, still voice is saying you need to do something today, you might not fully understand it. I want to ask you to do this. You come forward as I tried to instruct you in this invitation. Take a supple step forward. If you're here with a friend or a family member, say, I want to go forward today. And they will come forward with you. But whatever the case, please come forward as we sing. Brother.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me, because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love.